What if your grocery list was just meat, eggs, and butter, and you actually felt better?
Today we're unpacking carnivore and animal-based eating. What it is, why it's catching on, and the honest pros and cons from people who've lived it.
Welcome to Current Thoughts. I'm your host, Jay, alongside my beautiful wife and co-host, Dee. And this podcast is where we have in-depth conversations about topics that matter to us, and hopefully to you too. Welcome back to our series on eating healthy in real life. Quick catch up. In episode one, we talked about why eating healthy feels so hard in the U.S. Episode two covered whole food basics, simple, close to natural foods. Episode three, we walked through low carb and keto in plain English.
And today we're tackling animal-based and carnivore, two terms people use a lot, sometimes to mean slightly different things.
We'll explain what each one means, why some folks really like it, what concerns to watch, a few myths to avoid, and a simple way to decide if testing it makes sense for you.
All right, so first up, what counts as animal-based? And what's considered full carnivore? Let's make that clear so we're on the same page.
All right, so real quick, in plain English definitions, so we're all talking about the same thing.
Animal-based is anything animal-based. Think meat, fish, eggs, dairy, and some people add fruit or honey. They usually keep grains and veggies pretty low.
Carnivore, on the other hand, can be a lot stricter. That's only animal foods, including meat, fish, eggs, animal fats, organ meats, and sometimes dairy. All plant-derived products are out, including most seasonings. Keto allows for 50 grams of carbs per day. Carnivore allows for zero.
What does that look like on a plate? Super simple meals like steak and eggs, burger patties with salt, sardines and eggs, ground beef with butter, water with sugar-free electrolyte.
There are different variations of the carnivore diet. There is literally a version where people just eat red meat, eggs, and butter. Then there are versions that allow for dairy as well as all forms of meat to include seafood, poultry, pork, lamb, and any other exotic animal meats out there. The thing that most people who try carnivore have trouble with is only drinking water. So that means no coffee, no tea, juices, soda, or alcohol.
The draw is the simplicity. Fewer choices, fewer labels, cook, salt, and eat.
And as you can imagine, this type of diet can be socially tricky. If your friends want a taco night or a big pasta dinner, you're working around the sides or ordering just plain meat.
So that's the idea. Animal-based is the broader version with room for fruit and honey. Carnivore is the strict version, just animal foods.
Okay, so now the definitions are clear. What does the evidence say so far?
Here's the headline. There aren't many formal studies on strict carnivore yet. Most of what we got is from people who've actually done it and shared results, how they felt, plus any labs they ran.
All right, there was one large survey from Harvard where a team asked a couple of thousand carnivore eaters about their outcomes. A lot of them reported weight loss and improvements in things like digestion, brain fog, inflammation, or energy.
As you can imagine, with a diet like this, the primary concerns with eating a diet high in protein and fat is cholesterol.
And as you know, there is good and bad cholesterol. So with a diet like this, you want to have that checked regularly. But make sure you are getting the advanced test done, as the basic cholesterol test just tells you how much you have in your body, not the quality.
So if someone tries carnivore or animal-based, it's smart to check labs before and after and talk with a doctor, especially if heart health is on your mind.
So in the big picture, when it comes to your health, you want to keep this science stuff in mind, like getting around 25 to 29 grams of fiber a day or more. That leads to lower risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and some cancers. Carnivore has zero fiber. That doesn't mean you'll instantly feel bad, but it's a trade-off to know. And you have high cholesterol risk. Independent of the diet you're on, high cholesterol levels raises the chance of artery buildup over time. So if those go up a lot when you switch diets, that's generally a flag to watch. And animal-based or carnivore diets can cause nutrition gaps. If you exclude plants for a long time, you risk being low in things like vitamin C, magnesium, folate, and plant compounds you normally get from fruits and veggies. Some folks bridge that with seafood, eggs, dairy, organ meat, or targeted supplements.
Lived experience, what people report after 3+ months, often sounds like this. Less snacking, fewer cravings. Weight moving down for many. Less brain fog and inflammation in the body. Energy steadier. Fewer afternoon crashes. And digestion changes at first. Their bathroom habits shift, then it settles for a lot of people.
Sometimes people on this type of diet see the cholesterol numbers go the wrong way. I've heard the story. I felt great, but my cholesterol levels jumped. That's where tweaks come in. Try leaner cuts, more fish, maybe sliding to animal-based with some fruit and dairy, and checking back in with your labs. Or maybe just deciding this type of diet is not for you.
So where does that leave us? There's promising lived experience for some people and open questions that deserve careful eyes, especially around cholesterol, fiber, and long-term nutrients.
So if someone is curious, how do you test an animal-based approach safely? And when is it a bad idea? So if this type of diet interests you, think trial, not necessarily identity. Give it like 2 to 4 weeks, learn how the diet affects your body, then decide if you want to take it further.
Start with the lighter version. More fish, eggs, yogurt, or cottage cheese, if you do dairy. Some lean beef or chicken. You don't have to live on ribeyes and butter.
So a day-to-day might look something like this. For breakfast, eggs and Greek yogurt, or eggs and smoked salmon. For lunch, grilled chicken or tuna salad, and just skip the bread and add the extra protein. For dinner, baked salmon or a lean steak. Add a little butter if you need more calories. And drinks, again, water and electrolytes, and maybe coffee and tea if you're not doing a strict version.
Quick tip. Hydration and electrolytes help with early bathroom changes or leg cramps. Less fiber means your gut may act different at first. That's normal for many.
So who should slow down and talk with a doctor first before trying a diet like this? I would say people like that have very high cholesterol or family history of that. Anybody with diabetes or meds that change their blood sugar, kidney disease, pregnancy, breastfeeding, any of those, or history of an eating disorder, any of those symptoms, I would be cautious. Also, if you have stomach or bowel issues, sometimes simplifying foods helps, but sometimes losing that fiber makes things tougher. So a doctor can help balance that out for you.
Set up a tiny dashboard. Just a note in your phone works. Track certain stats before you start, and again, 4 to 8 weeks later. Things like your cholesterol markers, blood sugar markers, blood pressure, weight, waist, and simple notes on digestion, energy, and sleep. Create a small journal.
If your cholesterol levels jump a lot, don't keep pushing it. Make some changes and try more fish, eggs, and low-fat dairy. Trim some added butter and fatty cuts. Or decide simply this approach isn't for you. Your health, your call.
All right, let's clear the air on a few claims.
Yeah, let's diffuse some myths so we don't chase the wrong habits. So the first myth I can think of is there's strong clinical proof that carnivore cures most conditions. Not yet. Most of what we have are self-reports. Helpful stories, sure, but not the same as big, tightly run trials.
There's also a myth that no fiber is fine. Humans don't need fiber. You can live without fiber, but people who eat more fiber generally have lower risk of major diseases over time. That's hard to ignore.
What about red or processed meat risk? Is it just media hype? The fact is, the risk factor comes from a lot of research. It's about dose and pattern. Processed meats carry more risk than fresh, and context matters. So your overall diet, the amounts, and your personal risk are all things that should be taken into consideration. So our bottom line on myths, enjoy the simplicity if it helps you, but respect the trade-offs. Use labs and know how you feel to steer.
So with both the appeal and the cautions on the table, what are the pros and cons if you're thinking about this for real life? That's next.
So this show shares our personal experiences and general information. We're not doctors, and this is not medical advice.
Diets that cut food groups aren't right for everyone and can affect cholesterol, blood sugar, digestion, and medications.
So talk with your doctors before making any changes.
Use today's episode as ideas to discuss with your doctor.
All right, so let's lay it all out on the table. The upsides people like, the downsides critics worry about. Let's go.
So let's start with what people like on this type of diet first. It's simple, fewer decisions, fewer labels. Meat and eggs is easy on a busy day. Fewer cravings and steadier energy. Lots of folks say that snack less and don't crash in the afternoon. It can work as a simple elimination to find trigger foods. Then you add things back on with a purpose. The higher protein of the diet keeps you full longer. The rules are clear, which helps some people stick with it.
All right, so now on to the cons. What the critics actually worry about. So obviously cholesterol markers can rise for some, and especially bad cholesterol. And if those stay high, that can raise heart risk over time. Then there's zero fiber on this type of diet. You're skipping plant fiber and plant compounds. And then there's the risk of red meat or processed meat. They always have their concerns. But risk is about how much, how often, and the quality. So processed meats carry more risk than fresh or unprocessed. And grass-fed is better than grain-fed. And there's possibilities of nutrient gaps when on this type of diet for long periods of time. Without a supplement plan, think vitamin C, magnesium, etc. And then you have the convenience and cost factors. Eating this type of diet isn't always easy at social events or while traveling. And eating this type of diet isn't cheap, especially with our current situation here in the U.S. Meat prices just seem to be going up.
So what do you do with that? A few simple guardrails. If your cholesterol shoots up, try low-fat options and leaner cuts of meat, or rethink your approach to continue. If you miss fiber or feel off, consider reintroducing some foods you tolerate well. Keep processed meats on an occasional thing, not the base of your diet.
So bottom line, if the simplicity helps you eat better and feel better, great. Just watch your markers and how you feel. If the trade-offs pile up, labs, bathroom, budget, social life, it's okay to pivot.
All right, so let's bring it home and set up next week's plant-based episode.
So today we broke down animal-based and carnivore. The rules are very simple, and some people report fewer cravings and steadier energy.
The evidence is still early, and labs can change, especially cholesterol numbers, which can rise in some people. If you try this type of diet, monitor your numbers.
Remember, strict carnivore cuts out all fiber and plant nutrients. In big picture, research links fiber and plant foods with better long-term health, so keep that in mind.
If you want to try it, think short trial, like 2 to 4 weeks, and consider a lighter animal-based version. More fish, eggs, yogurt, cottage cheese. Not only fatty red meat. Track how you sleep, your digestion, and check your labs if you can.
Bottom line, treat this type of diet as a tool, not an identity. Learn what works for your body.
We want to hear from you. What's your biggest question about animal-based eating, or what happened when you tried it?
Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed this discussion and found some value in it. We'd love to hear what your thoughts on today's topic are. So drop us a comment and let us know. And if you enjoy our conversations, consider subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you listen on.
From both of us here at Current Thoughts, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another honest conversation. Till then, stay curious, stay open, and stay real.